This is Pod's Burgers, a podcast chronicling a Bob's Burgers obsession.
Drink it. I don't want to drink dog hair.
Just drink it.
I mean, I probably drink dog hair on the regular.
Oh, yeah. It's what keeps you regular.
Here's the thing. If I reach in to pull it out, I'll probably drop more dog hair in there.
My hands might be more pristine if you want that.
I got it.
Woo! I'm just going to drink mine.
Cool. I don't know why there's dog hair in both of our martinis tonight.
It could be in there every night, but, you know.
Here we are.
Jen's thrilled.
I actually am. All right.
Hold on. Okay, I think I'm better.
We're so Charlie Brown.
Why?
Because it's something every week.
Well,
this week I'm on antibiotics for reasons we're just, it's fine. It's
same as last time.
Same as, yes.
It's fine.
And it's making my stomach all unhappy.
And my toe exploded again.
And we're tired and... It's fine. It's fine. It's almost Christmas.
I'm looking forward to some Christmas.
Let's see if drinking this martini is a bad idea.
How will we know? Will only you know?
You will hear my stomach.
Okay.
There will be no doubt.
Okay. That sounds good.
I'm moving my microphone.
Microphone.
Anyway, hi guys.
Hey. It's Christmas time.
Here we are.
I'm singing you a Christmas song, yeah.
We're actually recording.
Yep.
For those of you following along at home, which would be anyone who's listening to this, except those of us who are here recording it in person.
This is going to be a great episode.
The last episode that we released, in which we talked about boys just want to have fungus.
Yep.
Was actually an older episode that we had recorded before October. No, before Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there are any weird edits in there that you heard and they offended you.
Why?
Because I'm insecure about my editing. Anyway, okay. It's because I had to edit stuff out for continuity. So it's fine.
Yeah, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Worked fantastic.
But this one's back in real time.
Yeah. I listened to Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time. I don't even know what that song's called. Is that it?
I think it's just called Wonderful Christmas Time.
Okay. I listened to that on the way over and immediately remembered the tweet that you shared with me of it sounding like they were going to do occult stuff until somebody unexpectedly walked in. Mm-hmm. And
then they were like, no.
Simply having.
Trust us. We're simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
They're frantically singing and sweating at the same time.
Like
shoving knives and Ouija boards underneath a table and with their foot.
Yeah. The dark arts.
I don't know. Maybe there's like blood involved. I have no idea.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear that?
No.
A distant thunder.
That's Jen's stomach, if you can hear it. I didn't hear it. Not even in the headphones.
Antibiotics.
So. Yeah. They're good stuff. Mm-hmm. They're just killing everything in there, though. Mm-hmm. It's just a bloodbath. Mm-hmm. And they're singing, Simply Heavy. Wonderful Christmas time.
Is that what they're... Can you hear my puppy barking?
Your puppy is no longer a puppy. Your puppy is the size of a horse.
But he's very much still a puppy.
Oh, I know.
And
I know it.
He yells.
Yeah.
He wants everybody to know. I'm not used to a real dog. And getting... I mean, because Lloyd... you've never met... A dog like Lloyd.
No, he's a very good boy.
He is the elder statesman. Oh, he's about to bark, though.
Why?
Wait for it.
Why? But why?
Because I don't know. I just saw headlights, and I thought maybe someone had... Oh. Anyway.
Oh, my God. Let's start over.
agrees.
All right, anyway. He's the elder statesman, yes. Yeah. He's a very polite, very well-mannered, very obedient.
Does everything I tell him
just
to.
Just a dear, dear, sweet, sweet bear. Yeah. And Norman is a puppy. Mm-hmm. It's going to take him a minute.
A minute ago, before we started recording, my husband and the puppy were in here to say hi to Brittany. And the puppy, I have a dance floor in the room where we record. And the puppy climbed up there,
made eye contact with Brittany. Locked eyes with me.
Squatted and pissed. The most epic piss.
And Jen is just screaming off to the side. Is he peeing? Is he peeing? He's peeing! And we're all just staring at him.
And I was like, house trained.
Did he like, was that like a dance battle move? Was he trying to hand off to me?
He's officially house trained, so it's just that the room where we record, we don't come in here unless, you know, we're hosting or recording or something, and so he doesn't spend enough time in here, so he doesn't associate this with the house.
He's like, wait, who's this bitch? I'm going to claim this place. It's mine.
And the dance floor is a different surface than any other surface in the house. You know, our non-carpeted surfaces in the front part of the house are kind of this pebbly stone stuff, and then all the rest of it is carpet. So
he wanted to test peeing on that?
No, I think maybe he thought it was outside. Like it's
oh my
flat.
God,
like
your dog is dumb. I'm just kidding, your dog's not dumb.
I mean, he could be. I don't know him that well. He's got a great smile though.
Oh no, he's a sweetie. He tried to eat my ear.
Anyways,
here we are.
Do you have any other pre-show show?
Nope. I'm just ready for Christmas. It's ready. I'm so ready.
Same. Okay. Well, should we start?
Yep. Let's do it. I want to start now. I told you this is going to be a long haul, Jen. I told you.
We're going to make it through. Well. Hi.
Hi, friends. I feel like I should be doing something. Hey, friends!
Podsburgers.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Jen. And tonight, we are going to talk about
Christmas.
Have yourself a Maylee Linda Christmas, mm-hmm. which is season 10's holiday episode.
I liked it.
Yeah. Me too. And I was actually surprised by the fandom's reaction, because I thought that they would not like it.
Oh, and they
but
do.
But the fandom, for all intents and, you know, all indications, I guess mm-hmm. is what I was trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Jen's asleep. Wait a minute. There she is.
Liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a couple of posts on social medias where people were like, it was sort of ho-hum. And we've talked about not really being too keen on episodes when the family's not all the way together.
Mm-hmm.
But
this one, they did okay.
Yeah, it was really, it was an interesting blend.
Yeah.
You don't really often see, well, I guess you do, Tina and Bob alone and then Linda with the other two. But they did another episode just in this season that happened. Mm-hmm. But
and also Tina Ranosaurus Rex was like that too.
Yeah. So I don't know. It worked for me. I thought it was sweet. It had a lot of Christmassy stuff in it. And I related once again to an enormous amount of stuff in it.
Yes.
So pretty stoked.
So we're going to get into that.
Fucking stoked.
I'm just too antibiotic up to have any kind of housekeeping.
Oh, that steals your housekeeping?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I
and
have any.
Shoves it into my gut, and ooh, it goes.
Simply having your gut.
Antibiotic gut.
Yes. I don't know that I have any housekeeping.
I was thinking today that we forgot to do, or never got around to doing our gift guide, but it is way too late. So next year, guys.
Yeah.
We're going to get this shit together. You know what? We are recording tonight, and I'm proud of us.
Yeah, me too. I mean, this is, I am so worn out right now. Mm-hmm. I feel like a rag.
See, this is what I'm saying.
Twisted.
Charlie Brown. Guys, listener friends, Are you ever tired of hearing us? We're like these old people.
I'm so tired.
Who all they can talk about is their ailments.
Yeah. Well, we are pretty old.
One of these days, we're going to start this recording and we're going to be like, everything is... I said the F word a minute ago.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
When did you say it?
I don't even remember what context, but it just hit me. I did.
Your lips still feel tingly.
Uh-huh. I still feel the F's.
I know. It's so good. I'm excited about that. That's good. Good.
Sorry. Sorry. So should we just go?
Yeah.
This is the fastest we will ever start talking. Maybe that one guy who told us we suck will come back and be like, you don't suck.
Which one guy?
We don't.
There were a few of them.
That's so true.
It's all right.
It's so true.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty excited. I'm actually pretty jazzed to get into this because there's some, like I said, there's a lot of stuff about it. I've always been very into Christmas. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Jen and I have referenced our sort of, I guess, really unconventional upbringing. And our family's never really been totally
okay,
happy. I mean, we absolutely love each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
But there's things.
My happiest times were with Jen and our Gene, mm-hmm. Rob.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Christmas was particularly special, not because of the religious aspects of it, even though we were extremely religious, or at least our family was trying to be when we were younger. But it was a time period when I didn't have to go to school. As I got older, I didn't have to necessarily go to work. The entire world kind of slows down because you have Hanukkah around the same time frame. And sometimes other holidays around the same time frame.
Sorry.
And so there's like, did I get you in the feels? What's happening over there? And so for me, it was just like you didn't even have to have an excuse. You got to be contemplative and do what you wanted to. And it was one of those times that our family was actually honestly seemed to be truly content.
Yeah, and I thought it was contemplative, but maybe that's just me.
What did I say?
Contemplative.
Oh.
I you know what? You have the English degree.
Well, I think both are acceptable. It's like vehement and vehement.
Oh, okay. But when I was a kid, all I wanted in the entire world was for everybody to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still a bit like that. And it just makes me super anxious when people aren't. And at least at Christmas time, everybody pretended to be happy so I could relax.
Yeah.
That's why I liked Christmas. That, and we were poor, so that meant that we got, you know, some, you know, a new toy or two, which we didn't get normally throughout the year.
Very frequently, so, yeah. Yeah.
You know, there was that.
It was just it's a time frame that it's especially dear to me. Mm-hmm. And so this episode had a lot of elements of my childhood in it. And I felt warm, mm-hmm. when I was watching it, and I liked that.
Well, we were going to start the earliest possible, but then we had to talk about our childhood.
But I was talking about the
show. No, it's good.
Okay.
Screw that guy.
Okay.
Okay. Should we do this?
Sure. Go.
I will say this before I start. It was hard for me to separate A story and B story because there were actually three stories.
Yeah.
And they were all very deeply intertwined.
Yeah.
I separated out the one story as the B story. So just go with me.
Okay. I do want to point out the pest control van in the opening credits.
By Fleisha.
I love it so much.
Me too.
Not only because it's by Fleisha, but it's also by comma Fleisha,
yes.
Which is grammatically correct.
It's so true.
Anyway.
Okay. We start out with a Linda song about her going to her temp job and how extra money is nice when you're a little bit poor, which we can attest to, although we didn't have extra money very often.
Yeah. And it was usually our father who had like 15 jobs.
Yeah.
So.
Linda is working as a temporary mail sorter for the holidays because the post office lets randos like Linda come in to sort the mail, as Louise points out. As she's getting ready to leave, Bob wants to know where she's taking her totally normal looking Santa Claus. I can't quite put my finger on what is so disturbing about this little Santa Claus that Linda has. It's smiling, but it's like almost looks angry and its eyes are dead. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it.
Do you remember a while ago when we bought a tiny misshapen cat at a Halloween store and gave it to Jimmy, our friend Jimmy?
No.
Okay. That's kind of what it reminded me of. Mm-hmm. It looked like something that you would go into Big Lots or mm-hmm. Dollar Tree and mm-hmm. just pick out mm-hmm. and it's just gnarly. And
it's like someone's hurting Santa Claus and he's smiling to try to make you like feel better. Like, no one's hurting me.
That is dark.
But that's what it looks like.
Yeah, yeah. I want to point out that Linda is a sorting prodigy because she can sort underpants really great. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And also, Linda is... Oh, go on about what the Santa Claus was about.
It turns out she's taking her totally normal-looking Santa Claus to hide somewhere in the packages at the post office, and whoever finds it gets a candy cane because Christmas, and everyone wants a little Christmas cheer from Linda's big sack.
Yes, and that is very much like Jen and me, not a big sack, but I mean, maybe kind of like a big sack, but we do random crap like that.
My next note was, and this seems like something I would do. I'm sort of ashamed to admit it, but it's true.
No, I'd be like, you know what would be fun is a little Christmas game. We're just going to take this little thing.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, Bob tells Linda to hurry home because remember her parents and Gail are coming over that night. And like the three wise men, they bring gifts, but these gifts are hurtful comments from Linda's mom, lots of phlegm from Linda's dad, and one is Gail.
Meow. Did she really say meow? Because it sounds like she says meow there.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Okay. Linda assures Bob that that she'll be home because she knows she has to be there to keep the peace. Or it'll be the Ottoman situation all over again.
I thought for a minute they weren't going to explain the Ottoman situation. Mm-hmm. I was going to be real mad.
Which Linda reminds Bob to not bring it up. The kids remind Bob that they'll be there, but that doesn't do much for Bob because he reminds them that they just hug their grandparents and then leave.
Sneak.
Gene has a moment in which he must have been reading the fan comments because he says, to be fair, I'm a lot. Less is more with me.
Oh, Gene.
Linda, meanwhile at work, Linda is narrating everything she does in a very Brittany way, including how good scratching her butt feels.
It is so me. Holy shit. sort. Scratch my butt. That feels good.
She's excited to be working because there are all these presents going all over the world to famous people. Andy McDowell, probably.
Andy McDowell even gets a prezzy. She's full of Christmas spirit, Linda is.
Do you remember when Andy McDowell was everywhere?
Yeah, and most of the people that I knew were kind of angry about her because they couldn't figure out why.
I mean, I don't know, there's just, she had a weird accent. Maybe I should look her up, I don't know.
She was Southern, I believe.
But sometimes sometimes they didn't care if she had the accent and sometimes she wasn't supposed to have it, but you know,
fucking Andy McDowell, dudes.
She was in that movie Green Card. Yep. You remember that one where she wanted plants? Yeah. So she had to marry Gerard Depardieu.
And I was really annoyed by it because he couldn't remember the name of her hand cream or whatever it was. That's why he got kicked out of the country. That's bullshit.
Yeah, pretty much.
If I had to name the brand of every product that Chris used in the bathroom, I'd be fucked.
I think about this a lot because I read, listen to, watch a lot of true crime. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of true crime that involves partners. And a lot of times they will talk about how one of the partners is suspicious because they don't know certain things about their partner. Or, you know, did you ever see the movie Gone Girl?
No.
I absolutely hated it. Sorry to everybody who loved it, but it had plot holes in it so big that you could drive a Mack truck through. I wonder, tell you all of them if you want to hear them.
I wonder if there's a lot of rustling.
I mean,
and growling. Did you see that? That bark came out of my mouth. I opened my mouth to speak and he goes, woof. I was just trying to say, I wonder if those plot holes are due to the novel or if it was part of the screenplay.
The novel was terrible too. Okay. But anyway, in it, there is a part where one of the police officers is suspicious of him because he doesn't know his wife's blood type. I don't know my own blood type.
Yeah.
I don't know Mark's blood type.
Yeah, if it were things like, I don't know her birthday, or I don't know her eye color, or I don't know what time of day she poops, that would be different. Hey, bud. Maybe don't. Thanks.
Just trying to do a podcast.
Hey, buddy.
He's
like, yeah, well, you're phoning it in, so I just figured.
I don't know when Mark poops. But the other day I was thinking, I better memorize things like, I can never remember which side of his back his tattoo is on. Mm-hmm. I can never remember he has a scar, like a pretty prominent scar on one of his legs. I can never remember which one it's on. They would think I killed him.
I just was laughing because if they asked me which side Chris's tattoo was on, I'd be like, all of them?
Every side? But I could probably name all of his creams.
His creams?
His crimson creams.
No, I couldn't. I absolutely couldn't. And Andy McDowell, yeah, I didn't understand her.
Was she in that movie where John Travolta was a fat angel?
Yes. And she was in, I think she was in that one. Yes, I believe so. And she was in, the movie, I think she was in St. Elmo's Fire.
What? No.
Yes, she was the lady that what's his name's character fell in love with, and he drove all the way up to the cabin, and she was with some other dude.
Andy McDowell?
I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure.
Huh. We're gonna have to fact check that one. She's definitely in Groundhog Day.
Yes.
And she says poetry weird.
Yes.
Poetry. Anyway, so she gets a present.
That's what I'm saying. She has Christmas spirit. She's not going to...
She does.
She's not going to shaft.
Is that
not the saying? Give her the shaft.
She is not going to shaft.
Don't. Linda will she not won't. Shaft.
Mm-mm. I'm just going to... Okay.
Okay.
We're going to get through this.
We got that 90s movie reference out of the way.
I mean... They make it easy.
Yep.
Linda's boss, Donna, finds the creepy Santa and gets the gross chocolate-covered candy cane. And I put here, why is it that something so delicious like chocolate is gross when it's flavored as chocolate?
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that?
Because peppermint and chocolate go really well together, but peppermint candy canes are legitimately not good.
Mm. Really?
Yeah, they're
Wait,
just...
Wait, aren't peppermint candy canes the normal candy canes?
Chocolate candy canes is what I was... trying to say.
What other kind of candy?
Oh, fuck. Let's just start over.
but chocolate flavoring, if you think about it, anything that's supposed to be flavored as chocolate is disgusting.
Yeah, don't do that. That's awful.
But chocolate itself is delicious. So what's the deal?
Yeah, I don't know.
Also, did you know that banana flavoring is the way that bananas actually tasted before bananas went extinct, and now the only bananas we have are the ones that you can taste right now?
I taste bananas right now. Am I having a stroke? Jen's definitely having a stroke, you guys.
Okay.
Still tasting bananas. Did you put banana in my drink? That's what she means in that baby it's cold outside song. Somebody put a banana.
If there was a weird jump cut, it's because I cut out so much.
Oh, God.
Where we lost our minds.
Why did that just happen?
I'm tired.
Okay.
Mike the mailman makes an appearance, of course. He's the one who vouched for Linda, but he's maybe regretting it now. Anyways, right as the post office is closing, this weird dude shows up with a stained package that he says he needs to get to his 7-year-old nephew on Christmas special delivery. The worker at the post office is way not into this and keeps trying to shut the door on the stained package dude.
It's a coffee stain. It's fine.
Finally, the worker lets him in, and Linda is stoked that she spied on a Christmas miracle like one of those goats eating a can and looking at baby Jesus.
Oh, baby Jesus. I love the way she says baby Jesus. The way when she talks about, oh, it's a preemie, mm-hmm. just like Jesus.
Just like Jesus.
I love that. Oh, God, I'm still crying. Okay, I'm good.
Okay. I feel like that one pillow that you have has goats on it with Jesus guffawing at the sky.
No, they're sheep. Oh. They're lambs because he's the Lamb of God.
Oh, that makes so much
sense. I don't know
sense.
Why she said goats, but, you know.
Because I wrote here, is there a story in the Bible about Jesus in a pink field with goats laughing hysterically?
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm. But there might be one about him laughing hysterically with a field full of sheep.
As Linda is getting ready to leave for the day, she finds the stained package and realizes that it somehow got left behind. And never made it on the truck to go out to the plant for delivery.
Can we not call it the stained package?
I mean, she tells Donna, but Donna isn't way into caring about it because she says that she's not convinced there's really a present in the package, that people lie all the time, and it could be anything, like human poop.
Yep.
And then I wrote, poop chat, all right, in all caps.
Yeah. Well, and that's actually a fact, is there's a lot of bodily fluids being shipped around.
Like for legitimate reasons? I almost said on purpose. Like somebody was going to shit in a box and accidentally mail it.
Help me, I'm taping it up now. No, some of them are for legitimate purposes, such as you can do a test, medical tests where you send in fecal smears and you package it up. But apparently it's actually a thing people
like
do.
Like a fetish?
I don't know. Maybe they just do it to like fuck with people. I don't know. Yeah. So it's actually a thing too.
Hmm.
So when they talk about mailing poop, it's a thing.
Well, that's good to know.
I do also want
I guess.
To, I'm sure. I mean, that's why I wash my hands whenever I bring in the mail.
That's why?
Because there's poop on it. I don't know. There's lots of germs in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to point out that when the sweaty guy with the stained package shows up and is trying to convince the dude to let him in, he says he has a very special nephew that he just needs to make sure he gets his gift.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to the guys, do you have a nephew? And he says, I have kids. And he goes, oh, it's not the same thing. And that was so you.
It really is. Anyway... Hold on. Okay, so Linda decides that she needs to fix this, so she takes the package with her.
Yep, and I say, Linda sees that the nephew gift was accidentally left behind, and of course Linda takes
it. Of course. So she tells Bob that she needs to pop out for a second. She goes home, tells Bob she needs to pop out for a second, and he is really not into this. Because she's the buffer between Bob and her family, and also because Linda remembers the lies that Gail tells her parents to make her life seem better, like when she was doing some eyebrow modeling abroad.
Yes.
And Bob can't keep them straight.
And Linda's advice to him as she leaves is just drink.
Yep.
Not the best advice in all situations.
But it does work. Hey. It does convince him to back off and let her go, but Bob does urge her to hurry. Of course they arrive before Linda gets back. So mm-hmm. the family, Linda's mom and dad and sister Gail arrive before Linda gets back.
Yep.
Gail starts off strong with the lie that they were going to stop by her rich person house first, but they couldn't because there were workers there removing a bathroom.
Because she's a world famous internet doctor.
That's right. There's some phlegm and some insults. So basically just Christmas Eve, you know?
Well, and I'm just wondering, are there actually families that are that openly awful? Because
what do you mean?
Like they'll just blatantly say shitty things straight up to people's faces when they've invited them into their homes. Like we have a lot of passive aggressiveness
mm-hmm.
in our family,
mm-hmm.
but not like... Is that supposed to be the Christmas tree? Mm-hmm. That's just rude.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. I mean, I have known people, not anyone in my family or Mark's family, certainly, but I have known people who would do that for sure.
That's just, I find that fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at least they're being real, I guess.
I don't,
but here's the
thing. I don't
thing.
Love that excuse.
I don't either. I really hate the whole, I'm going to be real to you because I'm not going to be fake. There's a difference between being, you know, fake and being
absolutely
an adult.
Absolutely. I think we've talked about this before, that I've had, a few instances in my life where I assumed that everybody meant what they said. And I found out that they were just saying things to me to get stuff from me, mm-hmm. because I am a very straightforward sort of person. First mm-hmm. of all, I can't lie worth a damn. Mm-hmm. And second of all, it's just too exhausting. So I just try to be as straight up as possible, but I'm not going to...
But you don't have to be a child.
Yeah, I'm not going to get in somebody's face. Like, I'm not... I will try to be as honest with them as possible if I'm forced to interact with people that I don't like. But I'm not going to bust into somebody's house and start taking a dump on everything.
But also, it's not always necessary, even if you don't like somebody, even if they've... you know,
right.
upset you in some way, it's not always necessary to air that.
Mm-mm.
Sometimes, even in the most, where you probably could confront them, it's not worth it and it's not necessary and you can just be civil and move on.
But that's the other thing is I don't honestly feel like, I mean, I feel like Linda's parents probably don't have a huge amount of affection for Bob, but I don't feel like they just sit around and actively hate him.
No.
They're just shitty to everybody.
Yeah.
So,
I think they're just old.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to be like that.
No.
I want to be like Linda. I want to sing songs about scratching my butt and poor. And
I have some good news for you.
I do that already. Yes, I know. But I want to do things like what she does in this episode, even though it's illegal.
Mm-hmm. For good reason.
Yeah.
Bob calls Linda and she's like, I'll be back soon. You be the buffer between Gail and the parents. And if they bring up the Ottoman thing, change the subject. And Bob is like, what is the Ottoman thing? And I'm all, dude, Bob, I would like to know this too.
Yeah. And that exchange between them, the whole part where she says, I love you very much. And he screams, no, you don't.
It's so real.
Incredible.
So real.
Yes.
Linda and the kids sneak into the sorting plant and Linda busts into the plant manager's office, which is certainly totally fine in the current climate in this country.
Oh yeah. I'm sure she wouldn't have gotten shot on sight.
The plant manager is way less Collie the Copsy than I would be. Mm-hmm. And tells her that the package can't go out because the truck already left. He tells her that because it's Christmas Eve, he won't tell her boss. And to leave the package in the bin outside his office, but it won't get there on Christmas. Linda, of course, mm-hmm. does not drop the package in the bin.
Mm-hmm.
She decides to just take the package herself, even though that means she's stealing the package and also leaving Bob out to dry with the whole parents and Gail situation.
Yep.
The plant manager notices that the package isn't in the bin and calls Donna to totally tattle. Donna calls Mike and Mike is all, dude, and he's going to fix it with care.
I love that whole section right there where the plant manager calls Donna and she's talking to him in a really soft voice. And it's Brooke Dillman again doing the voice for Donna.
Who's Nat, right?
Yes. No, she is a variety of other characters. Mm. She's just does
who
many
does Nat?
Voices.
I swear she sounded like Nat.
I can't remember now.
Anyway, go on.
But, and then she hangs up the phone after talking to Mike and it turns out she's in a Christmas choir concert. And she says, I hate Christmas just before bursting into the hallelujah chorus.
I like to try to imagine what was happening with the choir and the congregation
while she was
on the phone.
Yeah. I think they were just singing and she was off to the side, but then how would she hear?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, and then Mike's whole situation where he keeps trying to sound cool, mm-hmm. Because it is sort of a spy caper thing that's going on where mm-hmm. he calls Linda and tries to convince her to bring the package back in. It's very Bourne Identity and mm-hmm. all that sort of stuff.
We'll get back to Mike in a second. Back at the house, Bob is rooting through the garbage to find Linda's mom's medication while Gail tells them all about her lover, Dirk Moneyrich.
Bob rooting through the garbage is so totally something that my mom would make somebody do.
Specifically our dad. And also our father's second wife. It's weird to call her our stepmother because they got married when I was 20.
Right.
But anyway, his wife now, I once witnessed her asking him to dig through garbage at the Subway to dig out some chips that my little sister had accidentally thrown away. So it happens with my dad.
I was like, just with dad, apparently.
Yeah. Inevitably, the Ottoman situation comes up. But Bob immediately starts singing and also making Tina sing to throw them off the scent. People don't know what the hell to do when you start singing at them, so this is actually a really good plan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they can't, they're like not singing the songs right at all. Like, how do you go that far in life and not know the lyrics to...
I don't know, not everybody memorizes the lyrics to every song that they hear a million times. Like we do.
I just don't know how that's possible.
Mike calls Linda while wearing this really righteous sweater. It's got elf body on the sweater, so it looks like a tiny elf, like his head is on a tiny elf body. And he tells her that she has to take the package to him so that he can take it to the plant because that's the law. Linda, of course, refuses. Mike tells her he understands because he used to feel all awesome as a mail carrier on Christmas, but now he just takes the mail. And you gotta follow protocol even when there's poop in the package. Gene talks about his penis again, mm-hmm. and Linda hangs up on Mike, so he decides to go find her. And we get to see Mike's house and lady friend, which is nice.
Yeah, it's actually a really nice house.
It is. It's very cozy, and his lady friend is totally nice to him. Yep. So...
And,
I liked the whole deal that was happening there.
The reference to Gene's penis includes the words nice, sweaty, and weird.
Mm-hmm.
And back to Gail's lover.
Dirk Moneyrich.
Did you mention that she also works it in that Bob arm wrestled him and flirted with him at the same time?
He said you flirted with him.
I always flirt when I arm wrestle.
I smack talk and then lose. That's what I do when I arm wrestle.
Two things.
Yep.
Meanwhile, back at the house, Tina is still singing. Gail kills that noise right quick because she wants to talk about the Ottoman incident. Gail wants Bob to listen to the story and judge that she's right. And Bob says, "No way, man. I have to go to the bathroom so much for so long." And I'm like, feel you, Bob.
I'm going to use that. Excuse me, you guys. I have to go to the bathroom so much for so long.
Right as Linda arrives at the house where she's going to drop off the package, Mike pops out and is all, "Freeze, give me that package. It's going back to the plant." And Linda is, "No way. I got to give it to whoever is in this house and whatever is in this package." And then she turns around and there is a kid, but that doesn't mean there isn't human poop in the package, you know.
That's true. I mean, that might be oh, that's just creepy. Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
She tries to give the package to Mike to give to the kid, but he walks away. But then plot twist, it turns out he was just going to get one of those signy things.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives the package to the kid.
I thought that was really clever, the way they did that, because it was one of those things where you just sort of expected it to be like, you know, okay, Linda did something wrong and Mike's just going to do the right thing. And then he does the other right thing and comes right back around. There's a line during this scene that made me laugh so hard. I cried. And Chris, the archivist, had to rewind it and pause it and wait for me to recover. And it's the part where the kid comes out on the porch and says, "What's going on? Are you guys carolers?" And Gene says, "We're not. We're kids. Much like you, my boy." And the way he delivers it is just incredible. And I love it so much.
One thing that I wanted to point out about this scene is, once again, the Bob's Burgers animators, writers, producers, directors, anybody who's responsible for it, bring it home with their continuity, because they drew Mike wearing his special shoes.
Hmm.
If you recall in the episode, the Halloween episode, where I think it was Full Bars, where they go to the Halloween party at Teddy's house.
Yeah, yeah.
He makes them take their shoes off so that he can see who stepped on his guinea pig, Frankie. And Mike talks about how he needs his special shoes back because one of his legs is longer than the other.
Hmm.
And if you see in this scene, you can see all, you know, you can see Mike's feet, and you look at his shoes, and one of his shoes is thicker on the bottom
That's
than the other.
So cool.
It made me so happy. Also, he does have great calves.
Yeah.
They talk about it. So they drew some great calves on him. So back at the house, Tina talks Bob out of the bathroom and encourages him to help Linda's family talk to each other instead of not talking to each other like Linda encourages them.
And how mature is that?
I mean, it's also terrifying. So good
Absolutely.
Job.
No, and she actually says that, ooh, that sounds hard, but yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly, when something isn't working and you keep doing it anyway...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe try something different.
And I'm way into talking early and often.
Yes.
Not like, you know this, but listener friends maybe don't. Not like feelings. Like, let's hash out, like,
if
logically
you have issues,
what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about this thing. Because yeah. I'm not about things festering. I'm not about passive aggressive.
No.
I'm about, I noticed that you're acting this way and I'm just going to like talk to you about it. Or what you're doing makes me feel this way.
Because even if I'm not able to resolve a situation by approaching it that way, at least I feel like I have made my perceptions known.
And it's out there.
Right. And for some reason, Tina really strikes me very much like my son in this scenario, because mm-hmm. it seems like something he would be sensitive to. Mm-hmm. And he would also try to run into the bathroom to lock the door and hide.
Yes.
After he gave me great advice.
It's fair.
So, and speaking of continuity,
yeah.
when she runs into the bathroom, her arms are behind her. Mm-hmm. Just like, loves
Always.
That so much.
So Gail tells Bob the Ottoman story. And it goes like this. She went to visit her parents in Florida, and she gets this idea to hide in their ottoman where they keep Linda's dad's slippers, stinky slippers. And when her cousin Donnie arrives, she'd jump out and surprise him. But she dozes off. And when she wakes up, she can't jump out because Donnie puts stupid heavy gifts that aren't even for Gail on top of the ottoman.
What the fuck were in those gifts?
A coffee maker and some kettlebells.
I just don't understand what could possibly be so heavy she couldn't get out.
It's Gail.
Okay, that's true.
You know?
I just punched my microphone.
Then they leave to go to a movie, and Gail is trapped in the ottoman for hours with Linda's dad's smelly slippers. Linda's mom insists that they didn't know where she went and that they didn't think that she was serious.
About the ottoman. Why wouldn't you think I was serious?
And
that
was fair.
Awesome.
Bob tries to tell them that this doesn't matter and that being together on Christmas is the important thing, but that doesn't work. So instead, he calls Gail pretending to be the bank and tells her to put it on speakerphone so he can say that she has too much money and it's overflowing and it's a fire hazard. This puts everyone in a good mood. So whatever works, I say.
Yeah.
That is all I have for the A story.
I'm trying to see if there was anything else I had in here. Nope. I'm good.
Okay. B story. Tina is excited because it's Christmas Eve. So that night is the first annual kid-only Belcher Kid gift exchange for the kids only, which is also something that I would do.
Yes. And again, they're using only their allowance, which is very, very minimal. Mm-hmm. And so having been raised in a not wealthy family, we tended to have to get very creative about
yes.
gifts. And maybe that's part of the reason why we were able to hone in on certain things about people to say, you know, I noticed this about you. This might be a good gift, mm-hmm. is because sometimes you just have to be creative about these things. You can't just buy somebody a car.
Yeah. I mean, you can, but then you'll be broke.
I can't.
Louise and Jean are participating, but not super excited about it because the limit is one allowance, mm-hmm. which is super low, almost nothing, as Bob points out. It's really nice for Jean and Louise to play along, even though they're not excited about it and don't even believe that they'll get good gifts. So it's not even just that they want the gifts, really. So I found that interesting.
Yeah.
Louise ends up stumbling. Oh, sorry. You were going to say something?
No, it is interesting that you say that because, I would have been intrigued to see what you guys did. We tended to make gifts for each other if we didn't have money. And that was always interesting. It was art or a piece of writing or, you know, in Rob's case, he would probably lip sync something with his hair done fabulously, you know, just
some kind of choreography.
Yeah.
Louise ends up stumbling across Tina getting wrapping paper for her gifts for the exchange and sees Tina's gifts for Louise and Jean in Tina's totally environmentally conscious tote bag.
Yep. And her reaction, Tina's reaction is so much like me. When I find gifts that I think are perfect, I'm like, you fucking stay away from this shit.
Well, the thing about gifts is this. Of course, I appreciate and love the thing that I got.
Right.
But the thing that I love the most is the anticipation. Yeah. I do not want to know what I am getting.
I know.
I have zero desire to know what I'm getting until it's time for me to know what I'm getting.
The other day I was in the living room and Tok Tok had the zoomies and cruised too close to the presents under the tree and knocked one of them. And Chris in the other room goes, are you unwrapping one of your presents? And then we both laughed and laughed because it's just like, I like that more than the opening of it. Like,
yeah. Mark brought this present in and was like, hey, I'm going to put this under the tree. I found this present. And I was like, oh, can I poke it? Can I shake it? And he handed it to me and it had a little tag on it. So I flipped it over and there was something written on it. And I saw one word and I flipped it back over and I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to see that. And he said, well, what is it? And he looked at it and the store had wrapped it and had written what the present was on the tag on the outside.
What the fuck?
But I only saw one word and I've been mystified by it ever since.
What was the word?
Bag. I'm like, did you get me a dime bag?
Yes.
What is a bag?
Yes, he got you a dime bag, Jen. The person who's never done a drug in her life. He was like, you know what this woman needs?
Bag is such a weird word. It's like, what a... And it had words ahead of it. So it's like a something bag. I will know.
A jam bag.
But I've been...
A banana bag.
Just completely mystified ever since.
Well, I'll be interested to see what that is.
Anyway.
And if it's a dime bag, then... Wow. I have misjudged everything going on in this household.
He doesn't know me very well at all. So Louise lies to Tina that she didn't see the gifts, but she really did. Another weirdly nice thing she does for no reason and no gain for herself. And it stresses her out because the gifts are really good. Turns out Tina got Louise the Slugaconda Barobu figure that she really wanted from the vending machine at the grocery store, but she couldn't get it because it was too far from the vending hole, because that's just vending holes for you.
Yep.
She realizes that Tina must have been putting quarters into the machine all afternoon to get the figurine for Louise.
So sweet.
And holy shit, she got Jean Pinkles.
Pinkles! That sounds like porn!
It made me think of pink bits.
I know, that's why I said that.
One time somebody stole my credit card and my AOL account. This is how old we are. And signed up for this porn site called Pink Bits.
Please don't look that up.
And I don't even know if it still exists. And I had to...
I'm pretty sure if you type in Pink Bits, it's going to bring up something terrible.
You know what? If you want to look at Pink Bits and you are a consenting adult... No judgment. But don't steal my crap to sign up for Pink Bits.
That's the operative word. Well, and that's the thing is, these days, that's not going to happen. You don't have to pay for porn anymore.
No. Don't do it. Don't steal people's stuff to sign up for porn, even if you have to do it, though. No pink bits for you.
No.
Pinkles are his favorite frozen yogurt topping that are only available wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
Tina is stressed out because her gift for Tina...
What?
Let me try that again. Nope. Louise is stressed out because her gift for Tina isn't half as good. And there it is. She's worried about what Santa will think because he's so judgy.
Yeah.
Jean and Louise both got Tina a barrette, which I don't think is bad, depending on the barrette.
No, I mean, Jean.
And also Jean just went and got one of Tina's own barrettes, so not so much good, actually.
It just makes me sad because, like I said, it's just... It seems to me that, I mean, it's in character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that, but it, for some reason, it just seems to me that Gene at least would put forth more effort.
I like to think he went and got a barrette from her drawer and then like drew on it or something.
Like augmented it in some way. Pimped it for her.
Yeah.
Pimped my barrette.
That's right. Made it have like a popcorn maker in the trunk.
That reminds me of the... What?
I just confused myself.
I've been trying to find a place to get a custom paint job for my stand mixer.
Oh, dear God.
And Chris is like, oh, I'm sure we can find that. What do you want on it? And I said, I want that little lazy egg Sanrio character.
Why, though?
Because it's cute.
Well, I mean, I know it's cute, but okay. Yeah, it's fine. I'm not...
That's what I'm thinking he's doing to the bread.
Mm.
He's pimping it out.
I
mean, not pimping it out. Pink bits.
I got you. Louise and Jean read Tina's diary to try to figure out something to get for Tina other than a barrette, but come up with nothing. And I feel like they're not really trying all that hard because Tina has a lot of interests. She likes horses. She likes boys. She likes butts. She likes music. She likes erotic friend fiction.
Here's the reason I feel like they're not trying hard enough. Because a lot of that stuff is going to cost more money than they've got. But...
You could get a little horse figurine.
Dude, they put together an entire Ice Capade show.
Yeah.
They could put on a play for her horses.
I mean, this is fertile ground.
Yes.
Hearing that Linda is leaving to go to the plant, they insist that she take them with her because they don't want to be without their mommy on Christmas Eve for another second, except that really it's just so that they can look for a gift for Tina.
Yeah. And that at various times throughout the A story, Louise pops in and tries to find ways to get gifts for Tina because mm-hmm. pretty much everything's closed.
Mm-hmm.
She tries to convince... Linda to let her have the package that she's trying to deliver. And she says, no, it's for a very special nephew from a very special uncle. And Jean guesses that it's Uncle Cracker and they're delivering it to Nephew Cracker, which is such an obscure reference. When they finally get to the nephew's house and they, before they leave, Louise tries to ask the cute little nephew. The voice is hilarious on that nephew, by the way. If he has any extra presents or doubles.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I don't know. I haven't opened them yet. So, yeah.
In the end, they give Tina an origami swan made from a Priority Express mail label that Mike folded for them. But also, they both hug Tina as another gift, and she loves it, but she keeps searching them for another gift. She finds a barrette in Jean's pocket and seems really excited about it because, as I said at the beginning, that is actually not a bad gift.
No, it's not.
Especially for Tina.
But it was very sweet that they gave her a gift because that is something that she would want.
Yes.
So good for them. They came through.
So the end credits is the Tina doing lead and the family singing the waitress's song, Christmas Wrapping, which I hate that song
mm-hmm.
with a blinding passion, but Tina makes it not only tolerable, I actually really enjoy it.
She's singing it in classic Tina style. I mean, she's still using the same cadence that they use in the true song. It's all the correct lyrics, everything, but just monotone.
Well, not all the correct lyrics.
Oh, which?
You didn't notice that she kind of mumbles her way. It's the way that if anybody tries to sing Christmas rapping by the waitresses, they know the first part.
Yeah.
The middle part gets a little and Christmas by myself this year.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It is perfectly the way that you would sing that really terrible song. And then Mike comes in jamming on the saxophone.
Saxophone. You always got to have the saxophone in the 80s music.
It's so good.
Yeah. No, I really, I dug it a lot.
I love the end credits so much on this show. Not this episode, but this show.
I know. It's very clever.
I cannot tell you how many times I've gone back and rewatched them singing None Your Business at the end of Nightmare on Ocean Avenue, whatever.
I get some of those lyrics stuck in my head, not the real song, but their candy version. What was I going to say? Oh, and I like the fact that they will sometimes take it out of the diner, out of the restaurant, and put it in various other spots, like when they're flying on the... What are they flying on that one time? It was a burger? Are they flying on the burger?
I mean, there's the time that they're... when she's singing about the boys at the end of the...
Yes, that's the one I'm referring to.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that they'll put it in the restaurant when it makes sense and they'll take it out of the restaurant. I mean, it's just very clever, a lot of the stuff that they do. So I appreciate the attention to detail, if you will.
So I really, really enjoyed this one. I especially think I enjoyed it because after last year's holiday episode that didn't have a lot of holiday to it. I liked the episode, but it felt more like a winter episode than a holiday episode.
Right.
I liked the return to feeling a lot more holiday.
Yeah.
It's still not as strong as
some
of the quote unquote classics, but I actually wonder, and I've talked about this before, given some time, am I going to feel the same amount of affection for this one that I do about the earlier ones? It's hard to say.
Maybe. I mean,
but nothing touches The Bleakening.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing
I was
touches
say
Christmas in the Car.
That those two are absolutely my favorite. And we've talked about this a little bit before, especially when it comes to holiday episodes. You have to kind of, you're going to expect some bumps because they have to explore different ways of telling the same kind of stories that you hear every year at the holidays. It's always about the Thanksgiving meal and it's always about their Christmas. It's just, that's just what it is. And if you tell the same thing over and over again, it's just going to get boring.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like a little bit of leeway is totally fine.
But I tell you what, that The Bleakening, instant classic.
Well, and the funny
thing, didn't need to age at all.
The funny thing about it is, It's really good, hits you in the feels, very Christmassy, really funny, but then also really creepy.
Creepy, yes.
Yes, I love
so
the
many
creepiness
parts of it
in
so
it.
So creepy, like when they're going to bed that night, when they're going to sneak out, and it's playing Carol of the Bells. Mm-hmm. Is it Carol of the Bells that it's playing? It's a Christmas song. I can't remember, but
I almost started singing Carol of the Bells like you didn't know what that sounded like.
It's really slow and really minor key, and it's so creepy.
Yeah.
And then when they're in, you know, in the underground tunnel,
and they
know,
see
going,
the yes,
and the lights flicker,
yes!
and the Bleakin is there, and then it flickers, and he's gone. It's so creepy.
It's really creepy.
It's so well done.
And the weird hidden staircases and everything
and
about
it. And all of a
sudden,
this episode became The Bleakening again.
I don't know. It's just a really good episode. But
it's so good.
No, I did really dig this one, and I love the fact that that Linda just does. She has. You cannot dampen her spirit.
Mm-mm.
When it comes to things like that. And so
her talent will not be hidden under a bushel. Is that a thing? Did I do that?
No.
Light in a bush? A light in a tree? Put your tree in your bush?
Ew. You mixed up two.
Bananas?
You don't take your talent and bury it.
Oh.
And you don't hide your light under a bush. I hide my light under a bush.
For some reason, I thought it was always a bushel. But that doesn't make sense, because isn't a bushel like a measurement?
I was totally wrong about clowns in that Paulina Poroskova movie.
Hey, so was I, remember? I instantly doubted my own damn self as soon as I said it.
I mean, where are you going to pull clowns out of?
Yeah.
Your bushel?
Maybe.
Couple of things before we wrap up.
Okay.
Is this the first time that Mike had a larger role in one of these episodes?
I think so.
I liked that.
I have to think about that, but I think so.
Tim Meadows does his voice, and I was just glad to see Mike finally have a larger role. Gary Anthony Williams did the voice for the plant manager. Mm-hmm. So when I heard the plant manager speaking, I thought at first it was Ron Funches, who also does frequent voices. Mm-hmm. And Chris has this weird, uncanny ability to recognize people's voices, and he insisted it was not Ron Funches. Mm-hmm. And he was right. And this guy, he's been in a variety of voice work, but he's mostly done video games. Mm-hmm. And he did a voice for my all-time favorite video game, and that is Horizon Zero Dawn. And mm-hmm. so it's just really interesting that he popped up there. Fun facts.
Oh, was that the end?
That's it.
Oh.
I just wanted to talk about the voices. You know, I like to talk about the voices.
So. I just didn't know if there were any more. Okay. Well, guys, we done it again.
Yeah.
Hopefully you come back for more.
We can't get rid of them.
Yeah.
Even when we lose our shit over bananas.
The next new episode is in January. Anyway, the point is we have plenty of episodes we missed during our extended hiatus. Mm-hmm. So there still will be newness.
I tried to make it through the entire thing without burping, and then I just did.
I think we made it through without hearing my stomach ever, but...
I didn't hear it once.
We'll see. When I do the editing.
I think the gin helped.
You think so?
Yep.
So thank you for loving us.
Thank you for being there.
And I guess we'll see you on the flip side. And goodbye.
This has been an episode of Pod's Burgers. Our theme song was written for us by Michael Walker.